Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Boston, you know, not too happy. Toronto's happy, but they have to stop. As you said, you're a referee, you know this. They have to stop whining to the... What's a whine? Like, oh, boy, what about a penalty? Now, you got knocked down. What about a penalty? Oh, come on, look at that. You're hitting me. Oh, look. Come on. How about a penalty? Oh, come on. Oh, look at me. Like, you do that to the referees, they get ticked off because you make the referee look bad. The Leafs have got to stop that whining for a penalty.
Then he says, blah, blah.
The best thing about that Don Cherry cut where he's talking about the you know, everybody bitching about the lack of calls or whatever. If I saw the video, have you seen the suit that he's wearing?
Was that when he was wearing his Pac-Man suit?
Oh, it's always
suit.
Like that.
Was like, but that
was
suit,
that Lucky Charms suit.
That suit was unbelievable. He's dressed like that for years, but that thing was outrageous. So they're already getting fired up over at the TD Garden. You ready for this? Look
what
at this.
What about a Bentley?
Look at this. These are signs that we have found outside of the TD Garden that are up there today. Wanted, NHL's biggest scumbag. Looks like a pretty big sign. Nazem Kadri. Crime, cross-checking, DeBrusque in the face. Reward, tickets to Bruins second round.
Great joke. It was very, very good. Very, very, very good.
And they go through his prior offenses and whatever. And they actually have a company who actually is put their logo up there. So somebody paid for this. This company, LFG Sports. Do we know who they are?
No idea.
No idea.
I saw this in Brooklyn, too, right? They put this up with Ben Simmons.
They did, yeah.
You're missing his jump shot.
Yeah, how'd that work last night for them?
Didn't work.
Ben Simmons had a career high in the playoffs, I believe.
No Embiid, and still didn't matter.
Destroyed them.
Yeah, another real good joke.
So if you go into the Garden tonight, you might see these wanted posters all
tonight. Seas win tonight. Sox.
You don't sound confident. You're the baseball guy here. You don't sound confident. Here's what worries me, that people look at the...
they got a rover tonight.
They look at the Rays, and the Rays were beaten last night in extra innings against the Baltimore Orioles.
I know. I'm watching the scoreboard already. It's April 19th. Jesus.
But I know what we're all doing. We're all sitting here and saying, we don't have to worry. You know, okay. The Yankees are off to a slow start. They may be in second place, but they're off to a slow start. And under 500. And if you look at the Red Sox right now, they'll be able to catch this Rays team. This Rays team sucks. They're just off to a great start. Okay, great start. So let's take you back. How about 1 year ago?
Let's do that.
So let's go to April the 18th, 2018. Do you know that over the last calendar year, the Tampa Bay Rays have as many regular season wins as the Red Sox and the Yankees? They have gone 164. In that calendar year. Let me repeat that. 100 victories, 64 losses. So if we were looking at a 162-game season, this would be two over it, Lou. But they have 100 wins in that stretch. You could say, well, their pitching is pretty good, but come on. Well, their starters carry the second-best earned run average in the major leagues during that period.
Okay.
3.19 ERA.
But their offense blows.
No, it doesn't.
I know.
No. That's what people think. People say, who the hell are these Tampa Bay Devil Rays? They still call them the Devil Rays.
Yeah.
They're the second highest batting average in Major League Baseball. I'm not talking about this April. I'm talking about if we were to take you back 1 year ago from today, April the 18th, 2018, the Rays have the second best batting average in Major League Baseball at .262. On base percentage, second best. 337 in all of Major League Baseball. You know what the problem is? You just don't recognize any of the names.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're good.
And you know, I think Tomasi wrote it. NBC Sports Boston, he's over there now. The trade that they made last year, and I even when it happened, I didn't understand why the Pittsburgh Pirates would ever want Chris Archer, right? It's not like, you know, Archer can go to, like, the Cubs. Okay, go to the Cubs.
The Red Sox burn him, by the way.
Yeah. But it's like, go to a contender. Pittsburgh, they're trying to, they weren't serious. But in the meanwhile, they gave up Tyler Glasnow, who right now is 4-0 with a 1-1-3. And if you've seen him pitch, you're going to see him, I believe, Sunday. I think against
right
Price.
Now.
I think it's Morton Porcello and the kid Stanek, the opener. He's going
into
tonight.
Yeah, Stanek tonight, Morton, and Glasnow on Sunday.
Glasnow is like, he throws 97. Ball moves everywhere. I mean, he was once like a top 10, 15 prospect in all of baseball like a couple years ago. Then they got this kid, Austin Meadows, who was a top 10 pick, like, prospect rather, in 2017. He's hitting 364. They give up Archer and get these two guys. And I was saying, Tomasi kind of compared it to Derek Lowe and Tech for Slocum. That's going to be one of the, it's going to turn out to be one of the most lopsided trades because Pittsburgh doesn't really need Archer. They're not that good. And he's okay. But it's not just that. I mean, it's just Tommy Pham, who they got for like international signing bonus money. This kid, Brandon Lowe at second. Good player. Got some pop for a second baseman. Yandy Diaz, they got in a three-way trade from Cleveland. He's at third. Abisail Garcia. He was an all-star in 2017. He hit like 330 with 18 bombs. Had a down year last year, and White Sox moved on from him. They picked this kid up. Charlie Morton. We all know him out in Houston. Yeah. They gave him a lot of money. He's dealing. Their closer's a lefty. Alvarado throws 100. Team's not going anywhere.
Well, that's the problem. So if you have a bad, you've got six games against them in the next week and a half, okay?
You just don't know the names.
Right. So you've got six games with a series against Detroit in between that. But if you look at this right now, you're going to get Morton and Glasnow on both of those series. Glasnow has four wins. He's 4-0. Red Sox only have six. It's a team. They only have six. Glasnow's got four. But you're right, Lou. If you fall behind, and you struggle in these six games against Tampa Bay, and you fall behind by 11.5 or 12.5, you're going to have a bitch of a time trying to make that up, because unless this team gets major injuries because they don't have great depth, I don't think they're just going to fall apart. And we have a year now, a whole year, dating back to the 18th of April in 2018, to show you that this team is good. 100 wins during that stretch.
They're very good. I mean, they're just a very good team. You know, you go down there, you got to take 2 out of 3 to get you to 8-14. You know, no, it is for the Red Sox. You have to look at the next 20 games. You know, reasonable. If you turn it around a little bit, because it's not going to just flip like that. You're not going to win the next 8 in a row, right? I mean, they don't look like they're even capable of that right now. So let's just say you're 12-8 in the next 20, and you start to feel a little bit better about yourself. Okay, so it's 12-8, so you're 18-21. Still three games under. You're still probably about six games out. So it's going to take a while. This is going to be one of those things, trying to get 2 or 3 games back in the standings, you know, every 20, 30 games, and try to claw your way out of it.
See, I would like to see them do something in these six games, because six games head-to-head, you take one away from them and you add one for you. So they mean a lot more. To me, you could do some damage in moving up. If you don't, let's say you lose 4 or 5 out of these six. Ooh, man, it puts you in a hole.
Well, that's the thing. You can't do that. I mean, you can't do that, right? So, you know, even if you take, if you go 4-2, it's like, okay, you're still six games out, and you got to take care of business against everybody else. So it looks like Dustin Pedroia. I love this. I saw this report yesterday from Pete Abe, where it looks like the Red Sox dodged a bullet because there was no serious issues, medical issues with his knee. There already are.
I mean, my name is Peter Abraham. I'm
no.
So it didn't fall off. I mean, the guy's got no cartilage. Okay, but he already has serious issues with his knee. Setbacks are really bad because we don't know if he'd be able to come back from this at all.
He can't play right now. He can't play. So that is a serious setback, because the plan was, by opening day at home, he was going to play. He can't.
No, he came out and said he thinks he'll be able to play when these 10 days are up. It's like, okay, listen, you know, enough with the talk with the media. The Red Sox, you know, put him on the DL, rest him for a week or two, give him the 20 days down there, 20 games, 15 games, whatever it is, and maybe in a month, this guy can come up and play for you every other day.
They're scared.
Maybe. His career might be over, and we'll see. I have no clue. You know, but meanwhile, you call up Su Wei Lin, who's in second base today, and Michael Chavis. This is the same Michael.
And they're rushing him.
This is the same Michael Chavis we talked to Alex Cora about yesterday. Not because, you know, because everybody, you know, second base, bring up this kid Chavis. He rakes. He can hit. Okay, he's got some pop. There's no question he can hit. Now, he got pop last year, right? Yep. 80-game suspension.
Yep.
PEDs.
That's pop.
So we weren't sure if we'd be able to hit afterwards. Like, was it all this, or can he hit? Now, last year he finished strong.
Are we dealing with Brady Anderson?
He can hit, but this is what your manager had to say about Michael Chavis. More so defensively is what I was asking him about.
He's a work in progress. You know, right now, actually, we have communication with Billy and with Bruce Krabbe about, you know, our guys down there. And you start asking about how he's doing in second and all this. And he hasn't played that much. There's a few plays that he needs to get better. We're comfortable with him making the routine plays. But as you know, there's other plays that come into play in the minor leagues and at the big league level. So, like you said, you know, he's a work in progress. He's a guy that he's getting close to what we want to. And you never know, injuries and all that come into play. And he can be here, you know, to contribute, but as of now, you know, he needs a little bit more work at second base.
Here's what I want to know. Can he catch a baseball? Because apparently Nunez can't. So if he can do that, then okay. I mean, the bar is set pretty low when it comes to Eduardo Nunez as a second baseman.
And he's hurt now.
Right?
Eduardo,
so
way to go.
My biggest thing is I haven't seen him turn a double play. I don't know. You got to turn double plays. So he's obviously not ready defensively. They bring this guy up, in my mind, DH. Benintendi's in there, so whatever. But DH, swing the bat late. If you're trailing in the game, he can pinch hit for Lin, and he goes out there and you just hope that he can make a play. Hope that he can make whatever he needs to make.
So I've seen it all on Twitter, and a lot of people are you know, kicking a Pedroia on the way out, even though he's not out yet. And I can't do that because, to me, this is a guy, and you might have been pissed off at some of the things he said, the Machado thing a couple of years ago, which might have got kind of blown out of proportion. John Farrell might have had something to do with that. But I would say this, that he always busted his ass every single time he played. He gave you 100%. And because of that, his career has probably been curtailed.
We're well aware of that.
But here's the one thing I do not understand, Lou. We did not have great expectations going into the season. Nobody did. Baseball people around the country, people that follow this team, nobody sat there and said, oh, I feel confident that Pedroia is going to go out there. He's going to give you 120, 130. Nobody was saying that, right? The over-unders, a lot of people were putting it at 50 or 60, which means a part-time situation at best. The Red Sox did nothing in the offseason. Did the Red Sox really believe that Dustin Pedroia, with the no cartilage in that knee, was going to be able to come back and contribute and give them an awful lot of games this year?
They did nothing last offseason.
No.
And there was a...
But I understand that, but you got burned last year. And,
did you?
Well, you had to go out and get...
You won a World Series.
You had to go get people.
All you had to do was get a defensive guy.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I'm sure they're sitting there saying, you know... last year,
who's Kinsler with
last year?
The Angels?
Yeah, San Diego.
San Diego.
Last year we did this, and it was a bigger risk. You know, in hindsight, looking back, there was no chance he was really going to play. And, you know, we had Nunez, we had Holt. They lost to Marco Hernandez last year. Now they're sitting there saying, well, listen, Hernandez is back in AAA. He'll come back. Su Wei Lin has got another year under his belt. We have enough depth, and Petey's got a better chance of playing this year.
I'm standing right here.
So we'll go into it like this. And if we need to address it at the deadline, we'll address it at the deadline. So you could argue that that's maybe the one way they hurt him, because they haven't addressed second base in waiting for him. But that's the area where they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of guys that can play second. But I am amazed. I've spent the last 2 or 3 days, and I don't know. I just do it to myself on Twitter. You know what I mean? It's like just when I
think
I'm out,
at these people,
they bring me they bring me back in, because I swear the only people that tweet at me are the ones that have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. Yeah. Like Dustin Pedroia has cost them anything. They need to move on. They need to DFA him. He needs to retire because he's holding this organization hostage. It's disrespectful to his teammates.
Well, that makes no sense.
Last year he was on the IL all year last year. How'd that work out for this team? How the hell did they survive with the distraction of Dustin Pedroia being on the DL all year long last year?
Right.
How disrespectful was that to his teammates? And what did it do? Don't kid yourself. Okay, the moves that they made, and it's, you know, obviously Pedroia comes in last year and they release Hanley Ramirez. Hanley was gone, okay? Alex Cora didn't want Hanley Ramirez in his locker room. Okay, there's professionals down there putting their work in, down in the cage, doing their work, and it comes Hanley, spandex, no shirt on, and something, a wig on or whatever it is, and he jumps in the cage, and he's messing around. Everyone's like, okay, you done? We're trying to get work in. He wasn't on the same page with everybody else. Right. That guy was gone, whether Pedroia was ready to play or not. And don't kid yourself. Swihart's ass was gone. Okay? If they knew what was going on with Pedroia, they could have kept Swihart. No. He was gone. They weren't keeping three catchers this year. They weren't able to do it. They were never going to be able to do it. First off, they got eight relievers. They needed Leon up here, they felt, to get this rotation under control. Swihart was gone. They looked at him all year last year. Alex still didn't trust him. Don't complicate it. He didn't trust him with the staff. He was gone. Pedroia did not cost Hanley and Swihart on this roster at all. Did not. Both those guys were gone. Trust me, okay? It wasn't going to happen for those guys. So Pedroia didn't cost him anything, and he still doesn't cost him anything. He'll go on a 60-day DL. As a matter of fact, I'll help him. He'll put somebody else in a 40-man if he's really done.
Well, they're going to stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
They're going to have to pay him for the next 3 years anyway. He's not walking away from the game unless they're giving him every cent on the way out, and you can't fault him for that, all right? So that's what he's going to do. So I look at it this way. Wait until he's 100%. Maybe he can help you for the final 60 games, Lou. Maybe he can help you if you get to the postseason, in the postseason. But they have nobody else. They're going to do this wheel right now. They're going to spin the wheel. They're going to spin a wheel like we do at six.
Dustin Pedroia
on that one too
does not hurt this organization one bit.
Ian Kinsler, by the way, has played 18 of the 20 games the Padres have played. Padres have played well, by the way, to this point. They've been pretty good. He's batting .145.
Yeah.
On base percentage, .242. This is like Jackie Bradley Jr. numbers.
Right.
.291 slugging percentage. OPS of .533.
But it doesn't hurt this organization one bit. The contract was signed years ago, right? Blame other people for that. But I'm just saying, he goes away. He tries to play. If he can't play, then maybe he retires.
Can I go home?
Maybe he sits around and tries it next year. There's no disadvantages of keeping him on the DL. You know,
well, they got to find somebody.
I don't understand.
But they got to find somebody.
No, they
got to
release him. He's hurting this roster. How?
Yeah, I don't think he's hurting the roster.
How?
And Lynn may be the guy. You may be right. Lynn may be a better player than people think.
I still say, I even said it the other day on Twitter, I go out on a limb, that Tsui Lin will be your second baseman the rest of the year, and you'll be okay with it.
Okay.
And we'll see.
All right. Lock it in.
I got to find out if they like him enough to give him an opportunity, because we've seen if they don't like him, then they're not going to give him an opportunity, but I think you can handle it.
Okay, I want to get into this Pedroia thing, because I think you've been going crazy on Twitter, and people are all over it. I don't understand the hatred towards Dustin Pedroia. It really is to the point where it's a little bit absurd. When you look back at the kid's career and how he put it on the line every single play out there. And his body's just breaking down because of all of that stuff. So why are you kicking him on the way out like this? I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, yeah, you would have loved him to play for another 2 or 3 years, but is it really that big a deal? All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to more of the Bruins and Celtics as well. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Well, I don't really have much of an update other than that. He was seeing the doctor today. He's going to fly back here to St. Petersburg. So once he gets back here, we'll be in a position where we discuss with him. Of course, he felt a pop, I think he said yesterday. I'm not sure, but the number of things that he has had going on with that knee. And as we know, the knee is never going to be 100%. I mean, it's amazing that any player could play with what he's gone through.
And we now know the situation. It's not real bad, but it's still bad. As Lou said, it's still serious. It's still a question of whether he can go out there and do it. He certainly can't play right now. So it hasn't fallen off. Nothing like that has happened. But how much is he going to play? And I'm just amazed at the frustration I'm seeing on the text line and on Twitter here. Your station drove the bus to Pedroia, hatred, and then a couple of FUs here. And
what was that
from?
We're talking about the Machado thing?
Well, we talked about it because it was newsworthy at the time. Right. And it was
and that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know, and to me, and you know, it was funny because when Petey came up here, you know, I think I was just starting the media, and there was so much Pedroia love, and rightfully so. The guy was Rookie of the Year, MVP, won a World Series, all these things. And I remember talking about it and comparing it to, like, Nomar. You know, and thinking, because I remember people used to argue with me, like, you know, I'm like, you can't compare the first 3 years of Nomar to Pedroia.
Lou,
like
you're a pro athlete. You're friends with Nomar Garciaparra, the last great shortstop the Red Sox have had.
Yeah, it's a different level, right? Like, Nomi was doing different things, you know, and it was much more impressive in my mind. But still, great player. You watch him, you say, listen, this is how we want everybody to play. And everyone's like, how much he's loved. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll see how it ends. You know, we'll see how it ends. You know, because you forget the years, the first 4 or 5 years with Nomar and how he's the greatest thing on the planet.
Sure was.
And how quick it turns.
Beloved.
In 1 year, that thing turned quick.
Yep.
And Machado, the price thing on the plane, was he clapping, yep. Was he not clapping, oh, yep. Whatever, right? It turned quick to the point where people, they don't want to just let this guy decide if he wants to retire or not.
I'm sorry.
You know, he's this in his locker room, he's a bad leader, get him out of here, he's distracting, he's hurting his team, and it's like, dude, he's been around long enough. He's played this game long enough. Been a great player. Let him do what he wants. If he wants to retire, he'll retire.
But you see it.
But he deserves the opportunity to at least rehab for another month if he wants to come back and play.
Pedroia is a traitor. How about that one?
Oh, good point by a texter.
Listen, I understand. The whole Machado thing, whatever. I mean, I always told them, you got to straighten that thing out. If there's something behind it, you got to straighten it out because people are going to hold it against you. You know, and they do. Maybe someday he'll talk about it. I have no idea. But people don't forget, man, around here. I don't care how great you are. They don't forget stuff.
No, he's made mistakes. There's no question about it. And that was a bad look. I think you're right in the way he handled it because he was kind of throwing his teammates under the bus. But why do they hate him now? I mean, all of these guys, during the course of their career, everybody makes a mistake. But right now, they want nothing to do with him to the point where they want him out of here. And I think you're right. There's no reason to move him out of here. You're paying him for the next 3 years. He's certainly not going to walk away and give up all
What's
that
he getting,
money.
$13 million the next
yes.
couple years?
Yeah. Hmm. And by the way,
okay.
By the way, he was underpaid early on in his career.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not, this is not Pablo Sandoval who came here gut fat and you still owe him $19 million this year, $20 million that count against him. You know what I mean? And who never did anything for you. This isn't Hanley Ramirez who came in here and was a dog and embarrassed the game when he came in, you know, that first year.
Still around.
This is a guy that did some things. And, you know, $13 million a year. It's not crippling this team. If he's done, he's done.
But I think he's going to have a hard time because he's going to be around here. And this does not look like... It's last year he was out of sight in most cases, right? Wouldn't you say? And nobody really said much about him last year.
Right. Him being out of sight didn't affect this team at all.
No, but they won the whole thing. So there was no reason. He wasn't part of that team, Lou. Now he comes back. It's 2019, and they're looking at it. He may be part of the face of the failure if they fail in 2019, which is not fair.
They were 3-8 before he even joined the team.
Right.
They had issues. Right? So I don't know. We'll see. I know this. I mean, if it takes 2-3 weeks, 2 months, and he can come back and he can play defense and play every third day, then you don't have to go and trade a reliever for a guy like Kinsler. Then again, odds are he'll probably never be the same and never be able to play that much, and he might be it. And you know what? He'll be a guy like David Wright in New York, and he'll just sit in the DL for another year, and it'll just end.
Kinsler,
you'll never see him again.
.45 right now. That's 45 points higher than Dustin Pedroia was batting. There you go. The other thing about, I heard a lot of people in the last 24 hours doing this as well. Do we get to a point where the Red Sox are now going to trade all these guys away? Now, I think this comes off of what David Price said. And they could lose, let's say they lose all six of these games. They get swept in the two series they play with Tampa Bay. And it really becomes one of those where they're 13 games behind or something like that, and their heads are spinning. You're still not going to do that. One, you're Boston. Two, look at the wide open race for a wild card team. And if you're the Red Sox, you're going to be able to convince yourself, let's just get the wild card team. We'll play that one game play-in. We know how to play playoff games. And by the way, even though our bullpen is shaky, we know how to manipulate the bullpen. Once we get into the postseason,
yeah,
we can do some damage. I don't think there's going to be a fire sale here And why would you have a fire sale anyway, based on what Price said? What are you going to gain out of it? How do you...
See, you got to understand, though. Price comes from an organization like Tampa. And when they suck...
They're trying to save money.
They blow it up.
So good.
Yeah. And they replenish with prospects. When he was with Detroit, it was sort of like that tail end. They were trying to milk it for as long as they could. And, you know, when it wasn't working, they traded him.
Where's everybody at?
Same thing with Toronto. You know, it was just the tail end of it. So he's in Boston. It's different here. You don't trade away a guy like David Price. He ain't going anywhere.
No.
If they are out of this at the deadline, Rick Porcello will be traded.
Yeah.
You know,
because they're not going to re-sign him next year.
Steve Pierce will be traded. Mitch Moreland will be traded. Brock Holt, Nunez. Guys, the team sit there and say, you know what? I need a bench guy. I need a platoon guy.
Yeah, but out of it for the wild card, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, out of it for the wild card.
But look at the teams.
Maybe Mookie. If they throw a huge deal in front of him and he refuses and says, you know what? I'm going to wait till the next season. Now, I don't think it would happen during the year. But, you know, the Red Sox aren't going to blow it up. They're going to trade away the pieces that are not going to be here in the future, which is some of those names I probably just mentioned. That's about it. But I like what Price said for a couple of reasons. Number one, I like the urgency. Maybe this team finally feels like they have to start winning or crap can happen. And number two, just David Price himself. I like him talking this year.
I hold all the cards now.
Like, you know, and I said last year he's going to be really – remember in preseason, I'm like, Price is going to be funny this year.
Oh, you were sick of him already.
Yeah, no, but it was like he's going to be funny, though, because he won in the postseason and he won the World Series.
Everyone's going to have his back.
Everyone will have his back, you know. But I think the stuff that he said, I mean, do you have a problem with what he said about they need to start winning now, they're going to blow it up? No, I think it's fine.
That was very special.
Because I don't think – the whole holding all the cards stuff for David Price.
I hold all the cards now.
We didn't know what that meant. And I think what it means is you don't hold anything against me anymore. And if that means him walking up to a media member not feeling defensive, like the guy's going to attack him and he can just be himself, then fine.
Dr. Andrews said I had a special elbow.
Maybe we don't see that, you know, sarcastic wise ass anymore.
So
maybe he can just be himself.
So I looked it up. They are 5 games out in the wild card. You know why? Because they have the worst record in the American League. Kansas City has moved ahead of them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the worst record in the American League.
You're 5 out.
You're 5 out of the wild card. Right. 8 out in the division, 5 out in the wild card. So let's say they do. That's why these Tampa Bay games, as early as they are this season, it might tell you an awful lot this early in the season because they're 6-13 going into those series. Let's say they were doing okay going into those series. They could struggle. Maybe Tampa Bay is just pitching better. Maybe they're just playing better. But you're 6-13 and you lose both of those series or you get swept or you lose 5 out of 6. Luke,
that's the biggest difference from last year and this year.
That's a huge blow.
Last year you take care of business outside. Everybody gave them so much crap for being 500 against the good teams in the game. There's nothing wrong with that because they're chasing you.
Yeah.
They need to be better than 500 against you because they're chasing you. Because you beat the hell out of Toronto. You beat the hell out of Baltimore. You swept Kansas City and all these crappy teams in the league, right? Texas was another one. So because you did that, you can walk into a series in Tampa, lose 2 out of 3. It's no big deal. Just don't get swept. They gained a game on you, not 3. Now, where you are, you're not taking care of business against the crappy teams. So now you can't afford to lose 2 out of 3 to Tampa and be 9 back. You know, you got to get the 7. You got to take 2 out of 3.
Well, can you afford to go 3-3 in these 6 games?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're still 8 games out.
When you're beating the hell out of everybody else, you can afford to go 3-3 against the Yankees and Tampa and Houston, and it's no big deal. Yeah. Now you got to gain ground against the good teams because you ain't beating the crap out of bad ones.
I think we're closer than people think to finding out whether this team has any chance at all. Red Sox take 3 out of 4. 5 out in the wild card now. And this could get a lot worse with these 2 series against Tampa Bay. All right, we get back to the Bruins and the Celtics as well. Coming up next, 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
You said you felt like it popped. Yeah. What did it
mean? I don't know. I mean, it just twisted in the wrong way. You know, like sometimes the, you know, batter's box are real tacky and things like that. So, you know, I just went to rotate, and the brace I wear is strapped around. So it kind of, I torqued and my knee didn't. So it was kind of just one of those things.
Drop it, Buster.
That's Dustin Pedroia just moments ago out the ballpark. So he's writing it off like this is nothing. Matter of fact, he even talks about maybe he's going to use like a different brace or something like that.
When you left the park that night, were you thinking like that's it?
No. I mean, I don't know. I got sick right afterwards, so that wasn't very. It was kind of a rough one. But no, I mean, I didn't know what to think. I mean, I hadn't had any issues, you know, up until this point. But it was just one of those weird deals. I mean, like I said, some of the boxes are real tacky, so I just rotated and got stuck. So that was it.
Core told us yesterday that he was sick, and maybe that was part of it. So they're really trying to downplay this. Core did this yesterday, said, well, he was kind of sick as well. You can hear it there. He's downplaying it like this is nothing.
I just think when you rehab, there's two parts of it. What, physically, are you okay to play the game? Now, what about your game? What about your swing? What about you? How do you feel playing baseball? Is there anything you need to work on? Are there any boxes you want to check? You know, I mean, so you get a guy in a rehab assignment, and PD falls in this category. You know, if it's June and you tweak something and you miss 10 games, do you need a rehab start? No. Spring training, 2.5 months of the season, I'm ready to go. I got 100, whatever. But if you're Pedroia, you missed a month and a half, you know, year and a half, okay, you can play back-to-back days. That's great. But, you know, you need to spend about 10, 15 games, maybe 15 games or so down in AAA just to play good baseball again, to be a good player again, to feel comfortable in your swing, to, you know, to, you want to be able to, you know, have a good two-strike approach. 0-2, can you battle? Can you, you know, just lay off balls out in the dirt? Can you hit a 1-0, 2-0? Can I let it fly? 3-1, can I let it fly and drive the ball? Can I handle balls in? Can I handle balls away? You don't just do that because you say, well, I've played back-to-back games. Physically, I'm okay. Okay, what about your swing? What about your game?
So would they
have to slow him down and let him play a little bit?
Yeah, and I think they would have been able to deal with this a hell of a lot better if they were 17-2 right now, off to, you know, a tremendous start.
Yeah.
So there's almost a little bit more pressure in all of this. There's some bizarre stuff happening. We've talked about it with this Red Sox team. You brought up one to me yesterday. This is unbelievable. So Rafael Devers has batted with 43 men on base. 43 this season. In those 32 plate appearances, he's batting .345.
Pretty good.
With an on-base percentage of .387.
That's really
good.
And
you say to yourself, he's having a terrific year, really productive, right?
Well, you probably think he's got a lot of RBIs.
He's got two RBIs.
Weird.
Two? How is that possible? 43 men on base, 32 plate appearances, batting .345 with a .387 OBP, and he's got two RBIs?
Yeah, looks strange.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
But it's weird stuff. When you look at this team, there's weird stuff like that happening. And, you know, sometimes they say, you know, everything falls right. And last year, what did we say? Anything Cora did, it just worked for them.
Now it's like opposite. Everything that's going on
everything
sucks.
Fails. Everything
Everything
fails.
Is failing.
You feel optimistic about this weekend?
No, I don't. I mean, at this point, I hope they win one.
Yes. Yeah, give us some life.
We had a 5-game road trip here with New York 2 and then Tampa 3. I'm at this point, I think you come back 1-4 and you're like, oh.
Ridiculous. But that number you gave me yesterday, I couldn't believe it. Rafael Devers. So your numbers look pretty good, except there's no production. Nobody's scoring.
Yeah,
you're not getting anything out of it. All right, you got the Bruins and the Celtics tonight. The good news is, unlike the other night where they both went at the same time, we've got the Bruins at 7 o'clock, and the Celtics are scheduled at 8:30, but it's one of those, it's on ESPN.
Little breather.
And, yeah, and they won't tip it off.
Have the conversation with the coach.
About 8:40 or something like that. Right. So they'll take a while before we get there. So it'll be about 8:40. So you're going to get to see both of this stuff. So which one is the most important game tonight? Bruins, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. Bruins have got, you've got to win this.
Well, Celtics are in a
cakewalk. It's not a must game.
Not worried about the Celtics. What are you worried about the Celtics for?
Now,
are you?
Have you seen them on the road?
No, okay, I'm curious. Okay, let's see. They lose tonight.
The Celtics are underdogs in this game tonight?
They are.
Is that as devastating if the Bruins lose?
That surprise you?
That they're underdogs?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it does.
What is the line, Tyler?
I believe it's 1.5.
Yeah,
it is 1.5. So we got some TV guy that was on one of the sports radio stations today. This guy's really optimistic. He's like the Kyle Draper of their broadcast. That's what I heard. Listen to this.
Give us a big jolt of optimism, Jeremiah. Tell us how and why the Pacers are going to win game three tonight.
Because of Dan Burke's defense. The Boston Celtics are not held below 100 points very often, just 9 times in the regular season. Now, they've done it both times in this series, and you have to think if that continues. In the regular season, Boston was 0-9 when held under 100. Now, they were held under 100 in each of the first two games of the series, so they did the job defensively. You have to think coming home, the offense will be there, and it's a good thing you're talking to me at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, not 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday, because I wasn't so optimistic then, but now I've had a couple of nights to sleep on it and to talk to the guys and watch practice yesterday. And, hey, it's a gold out. The field house is looking spectacular right now, and I'm optimistic heading into game three.
All right, that guy's name was Jeremiah Johnson, TV guy out there, and he was on 10-7.
I actually saw Indiana minus 3.
Three points now, yeah.
They've
been able to play elite defense.
I hate to say it. His theory is a pretty good one because it is something that the Celtics do not like doing. And that's playing games in the 80s and the 90s.
I'm talking about the X Factor.
That's not the way they play.
This is kind of interesting. I'm seeing, look at Abby Chin tweeted it out.
Oh, good.
I don't even see this tweet because I don't follow really Abby that much on Twitter. But apparently during the game, so she tweeted out, our NBC Boston cameras captured trainers working on Kyrie Irving's right-hand wrist on the bench. Something to keep an eye on. He's staying in the game.
But did he win the Tommy Award?
So that was during the game. And then we're seeing that apparently during Friday's morning shoot around, he was being looked at again by the trainers, his right hand wrist area. Not anything big, but again, chalked it up as something to keep an eye on.
I'm sorry you didn't get to use your broom.
The line changed yet?
No, maybe that's why it's 3. Who knows?
But it's an interesting point because we had said this the other day. During the regular season, the Celtics were 0-9. When they were unable to put 100 up on the board. So they like to play at a much higher number. You got to believe the Pacers are going to be, even though they struggle to score on a night-to-night basis, they're going to be more comfortable at home.
Wait, Ryan, did you say you disagree? You think the Celtics game is more important than the Bruins or something?
I actually think that this, between the Game 3 and the Game 5, I'm very interested to see what the Celtics team looks like with a healthy Kyrie, healthy Gordon Hayward, what they're going to do on the road.
Whatever.
Okay, thanks. What are you going to watch, Lou?
The Bruins.
The Bruins are more important. You just like the Celtics more than you like the Bruins. That's what it comes down to, right? You
like both teams. I like both teams, but I think...
So how could you possibly be more interested in the Celtics at Indiana?
There's more at stake tonight.
I mean, you're curious.
What's the big question going into the Bruins game?
Who wins the third game of the series?
What do you mean, what's the big question?
You win the third game of the series, you're in control.
If the Bruins at home drop this one...
What?
Do you think the Bruins are going to drop this one at home game 5?
They might. Home ice means nothing in the NHL. It really means very little.
You think if the Celtics lose this game, they're going to lose the series?
No. Oh, my God.
No, I don't think they'll lose the series, but I don't know what this team looks like on the road.
I know what they are. They suck.
All right, I'll see
you
Monday.
You know what that is?
No, they don't
know what that is? That is a concerned green teamer.
No.
Because all year long, no. You've been extremely optimistic.
You want to check me for
tattoos? No, you sit there. No, you what?
Gilroy tattoos.
Are you curious to see what they look like? Sure, but the series is not in doubt. They're going to beat Indiana because they suck. Now, game one against Milwaukee, like I said before, if they go up against game one Bruins-Columbus, that will be a more, even-watched series and maybe even more Celtics against Milwaukee. But against Indiana, No, there's no question. There's more on the line. There's more of an interesting game, if you ask me, between the Bruins and Toronto.
See, I think to me, this is a big game for the Bruins and for Toronto.
He's awesome.
Toronto's got a problem with Boston right now. They keep on losing. This is something they can't get over right now. They've got a history of losing against the Bruins. We know that, including Game 7 where they had a 4-1 lead. We know the story on all of this.
How'd that go?
It went the Bruins' way.
Yeah.
It went the Bruins' way. This is another one. Pat Boylan. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork. Brad Stevens' Celtics teams have gone up 2-0 in a series 4 times. In 3 of those 4, the opponent was able to tie the series at 2-2. That's because they can't win on the road.
So why do you knock me when I'm saying I want to know what this team looks like on the road? We haven't seen them.
Because you don't like hockey. Because if you like both of these sports, I think anybody realizes that the Bruins have a path to win a Stanley Cup. The Celtics don't. The Bruins have a very good team in Toronto in front of them and a very important Game 5 that could swing the entire series, and the Celtics don't. They're playing Indiana.
So which loss would surprise you more then, Bruins or Celtics?
Celtics.
No, the Celtics loss would not surprise me tonight. That would not surprise me, Lou. What would surprise me is if they lose this series. Now, if they lose these two games this weekend, then get ready for a 7-game series. You're playing 7 against the lowly Indiana Pacers.
You say, which one would surprise me most? If the Bruins lose to Toronto, I wouldn't be that shocked. That's what I'm saying. But the Celtics, if they lose to Indiana? I mean, granted, I don't trust them. I still think it's going to go 7.
You believe in the gambling
gurus. But I don't think
the
series is in doubt.
The Bruins are favored in this game tonight. And last time we just checked, the Pacers are favored. Celtics aren't favored. So Vegas feels better about the Bruins winning this game than they do about the Celtics winning this game tonight.
Home, way, whatever. I mean, gambling is gambling.
But are the Celtics above the spread?
Write that down.
Are you people
gambling
really more,
is gambling.
Are you really more interested in the Celtics
Indiana? No. I'm going along with what his premise is. He is a green teamer. He is a green teamer who always thinks optimistically like Gilroy does, and yet deep down inside, he is scared bleepless about this game tonight in Indiana.
We did it!
He is scared to death of this game. You know why? Because like us, he knows his team has not performed well out on the road.
And that's what I want to see.
Right.
How are they going to perform on the road? Because I'll tell you, I was nervous as all hell in the third quarter. And then they flipped
that
switch.
I would say that if you are somebody that cares as much about the Celtics as you do about the Bruins, this is a no-brainer.
But it's a bigger game.
This is a no-brainer.
It's a bigger game for the Bruins.
I'm going to watch both anyways. They're an hour and a half apart.
Yeah, but this one could be, in the Bruins series, this one could be the difference in the series. Okay? If the Celtics lose this game tonight, what does it mean? The only thing it means is they may extend the series.
But what makes it the difference, though? If home ice doesn't make a difference, they can easily go up back to the Bell Center and win again.
Yeah, but they have to win 2 in a row.
Game 5 versus Game 3.
They have to win 2 in a row, and so far nobody's won 2 in a row in the series, right? So there is a difference. Yeah, there is a difference. But that's what he is. He's one of these green teamers that on the outside, they're really optimistic, and they give you that, you know, I'm feeling good. You know, what are you guys getting so negative about my team?
I'm just saying, if there's two big series, and it's like the Celtics-Milwaukee are 2-2, Game 5. Bruins-Columbus are 1-1. The fact that it's a Game 5, 2-2, is more important than a Game 3.
Yes.
And it's not even 1-1. It's 2-0.
Correct.
So,
and by the way, if I was feeling good about the Celtics on the road, then I'd be more invested in what the Bruins are going to do. I don't know what they're going to do tonight.
So do you believe that a lot of these green teamers, because why are they so optimistic? They're feeling great. I'm watching your network last night, NBC Sports Boston, and, you know, I've got Sherrod Blakely and Forsberg and all of them. Suddenly, because of 2 wins, which were not real impressive, at home by the Celtics, they're all feeling great about this series. I'm with you. I want to see what they can do in Indiana, even though this is a weak playoff team they're playing.
Can we go one quarter of basketball without putting up almost single digits? That's all I want to see, is just a little consistency and tying up all these loose ends on the road. This is the big thing that they got to deal with.
What was that, Tyler?
Whatever.
Remember that stat yesterday? The Celtics have trailed the Pacers in this series for 65% of the on-court minutes.
Yeah, I can't get worked up about it. That those two games were at home, I think, is a little bit discerning. But Abby's got the scoop today. That's negative, by the way. Somebody should tell Abby that.
Well, she had the scoop during the game.
Very
And they followed up during shoot-around.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This hour of OMF being brought to you by Auto Fair Ford and Subaru of Haverhill. We'll get into more of the Bruins, more of the Celtics. And if you missed it, there is a website out there that claims that they have been approached about buying the Robert Kraft video. They have given a description of it. They say they have it. Are they going to release it? We'll get to all of that coming up in the final hour, and we'll go half an hour commercial-free coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.